You probably already have a few. You put some thought into them. You've prayed about them. You've already written them down, I imagine. You know what I'm talking about? New Year's resolutions. New Year's resolutions. Every year, we seem to make one or two, don't we? And I think I really know why. I believe that the reality for each one of us is that we want to be a better version of ourselves. How many? Amen? We want to be a better version of ourselves. We want to grow. We don't want to be the same. We want to eliminate something that's holding us back. We want to conquer something that we've yet to conquer in our lives. We want to soar instead of dragging our feet on the runway. That's, I think, in each one of us, this innate desire that we become a better version of ourselves. There are things about our lives that we just simply, how many of you have something in your life you just simply don't like? All right? And you want to see some changes, and we all do that. And so the basic self-directed question, I think that you and I and countless other people, you know, are asking this time of year is, what is it about my life that I want to change or to be different? We're all asking that question. What is it that you're setting out to do in 2020? And I want to offer you this today, that as Christians, our goals ought to go well beyond just self-care goals or self-improvement goals. Don't get me wrong, the desire for health and some new healthy habits is important. I'm working on some of those this year in my own life. I've got several and already begun to start working on those things and to bring health to my life and some new habits in my life. How many are looking at some of those kinds of things this year? Just curious. Right, yeah. So that's a good thing. But there's another question I believe that we need to ask ourselves, and it's this. God, what do you want me to do that will bring you more attention, more honor, and bring others close to the glorious one, Jesus? That it has to be, I think, for us as Christians, a spiritual question, reflective question that we ask ourselves. Something that's self-directed at ourselves, but something that goes beyond just improving ourselves. What is God, what is not just what we want, what does God want in our lives? And so I think that the start of a new year is always good. It's good. It forces us to think about our lives and our life purpose and our life goals. But more importantly, I think as Christians, we are forced to camp on this question, to just really camp out on this question, what are God's goals and God's desires for our lives? What is God's vision for your life? And what is God's vision for my life? I think that's the question I think that should be preeminent in our lives as we start from this day. It's the 5th? January 5th, as we move forward into the year. We've already had 4 days go by, 2020. But that, I think that's a preeminent question. And so let's pray. We're going to begin actually a new series of messages, 4 messages. We're calling it 2020 Vision, and we'll share that with you as we go along. But we need to pray and just stop and acknowledge our need of God. God, we acknowledge today that you need to become our everything. And I acknowledge, Lord, that what I have to share could just be a well-crafted speech, and it could bring a little meaning to people's lives, but nothing really lasting and eternal. And I pray, God, that we go beyond that, and that, so you put power in the message and anointing on it, so that it actually is what you want, God, for your people to hear. And Lord, we want to have an open heart to receive it. We want to have an open spirit to embrace what you're inviting us into today. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Just recently, we introduced a revised vision statement or mission statement to all of our leaders, and we revisited this mission statement for several reasons. First of all, like most mission statements, and all organizations really have them, you write it down, it gets buried, and nobody can remember it. And so that's one reason why we wanted to really fine-tune it and revise our mission statement. But the second thing is that there's all kinds of competing ideas about the primary purpose of a Christian and the primary purpose of a church as a whole. So we have all these competing purposes for a Christian's life and competing purposes for what the local church is supposed to be about. And so it brings a lot of confusion, but it also brings a lot of disappointment. Because what maybe you think the church should be about and the purpose of the church is not what I think the purpose of the church is to be about. And so there comes some disappointment in that. And so we set out to write this clear statement, and here it is. We exist, the vineyard, right? We exist to honor God, make new disciples of Jesus, and lead all disciples towards spiritual maturity. That's it. That's our purpose. That's what we are to be about as the Logansport Vineyard. And how we fulfill that purpose is we want to become a church where people experience the presence of God and encounter the Word of God personally and enjoy gathering together with one another. And engage in the works of the Holy Spirit or the works of God. And that's how we fulfill that mission. And so today what I want to do is I want to focus on this idea of honoring God. Honoring God. And it's probably not a phrase we talk too much about or really we use too much when we think about our relationship with God. We talk about worshiping God, don't we? We talk about praising God. We talk about glorifying God or serving God or following God, but we don't often use this phrase that we're honoring God. And so I think we need to define it just a little bit. I want to define it for you so we can it'll kind of really solidify where we're going with this message today. The attitudes, right, that we have towards those we honor include things like highly regard, respect, reverence. You know, in the scriptures, there are words like glory, praise, renown, distinction. They're all words that are synonymous with honor. Synonymous with honor. And I want you to think with me about this today, how we honor people today. How do we honor a person today? Well, first of all, we honor someone by living out their principles, don't we? We keep their name alive, so to speak, by adopting some of the ways and the attitudes and life principles that they, you know, embraced, and we put them into practice in our lives, and so we keep their name alive, don't we? We honor them by living out their principles. We speak about their lives often. That's how we honor a person. We honor someone by recognizing them publicly in the presence of other people. We honor someone by praising them publicly in their hearing, that they actually hear it, right? We honor them by praising them, and they're there to witness it and hear it, that they're being praised. We honor someone by speaking about their character, their accomplishments. Maybe we honor somebody because of their acts of kindness or their generosity or their heroism. And there's a lot of people that our country is honored because of heroism. And it's right, isn't it? It's appropriate that there's a gathering and that they be honored for the things that they were able to do and accomplish. So we honor someone by often giving them the highest award given, placing their name in a prominent place. And then finally, we honor someone by showering showering them gifts. We could say that to honor is to make glorious, to make someone glorious. And of course, God is deserving of the highest honor, isn't he? He deserves to be honored because of who he is and what he has done. And we sang about it all morning. We sang about who God is and what he's done in our lives, didn't we? And he's the creator of our lives. He's the sustainer of our lives. He's the redeemer of our lives. And our very life and our very breath comes from God. In fact, the scripture says that in Acts chapter 17. It's in him that we live and that we move and we have our being. All that we have received from God. All things have been made by him. All things have been made for him. He is worthy of all honor. Amen? A little louder. Amen. And the Apostle John, he gives us this picture of heaven where God is lifted up to this exalted place of honor. That there's this great gathering, and everybody is praising God. And John is swept up by the Spirit. We don't know what. It was a trance, a vision, something happening. And God swept up in this, and he sees this thing taking place in heaven. And it's in Revelation 4, and I want to read it to you. Revelation 4, it says, "At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. And a rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. And surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones. And seated on them were 24 elders. And they were dressed in white. And they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. And in front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. And these are the seven spirits of God. And also in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. And in the center, around the throne, were four living creatures. And they were covered with eyes in front and in back." That'd be weird. Okay. And the first living creature was like a lion. The second like an ox. The third had a face of a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle, and each of the four living creatures had six wings, and they were covered with eyes all around. It's getting weirder, okay? And even under its wings, and day and night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory, honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. And they lay their crowns before the throne and they say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." God deserves all honor. And it's easy for us to see that from this description that honoring is totally focused on giving, not receiving. And I do often wonder at times how much our worship services fall short because maybe we're more focused on receiving than giving. That worship is about giving honor. And maybe I believe that we all have attended and maybe witnessed an event where someone is honored. How many have ever attended and witnessed an event where someone is honored? And the audience, this is really it's really a moving thing with, when you're a witness to this and a part of it. The audience just continues to clap and make noise until the person is really forced to stand up, right? And then walks to the stage, at which point the clapping and the noise gets even louder and it goes on and on and on. And how many have been involved in something like that? You've witnessed that. Yeah. You know, in this would be incredible, but in 1972, the famous actor Charlie Chaplin. Somebody don't know who that is. All right, a lot of you do. Charlie Chaplin was honored at the Academy Awards, and some reports have it that Chaplin received a 12-minute standing ovation and applause. For 12 whole minutes, they clapped and applauded and honored Charlie Chaplin. 12 minutes. Now, if you're counting, 12 minutes is a really, really long time. Other sources report that there may be, because, you know, we have commercials, they had commercials, and they break for the commercials, that there may be a 20-minute recorded standing ovation in the television studio archives. Charlie Chaplin, 20 whole minutes where he was honored with applause and whistling and shouting and praise. 20 minutes, can you imagine that? And I just imagine yourself in the largest stadium that exists, and God is the one being honored that day. How electrifying do you imagine the setting would be? I imagine, this is what I imagine, that Psalm 145 is being shouted as a way to honor God. We will exalt you, my God and King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another, and they'll tell of your mighty acts. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All who have made you, you will praise you, Lord. All the Lord, your saints will extol you, and they will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might. The Lord is faithful, they'll shout. And all his promises are good and loving toward all he has made. The Lord is righteous in all his ways. And it would go on and on and on. And people would be applauding and clapping and shouting and whistling and on their knees. And it would go a whole lot longer than 20 minutes. God's worthy to be honored. He's worthy. And so as you and I think about our personal mission statement, as we think about personal goals, as we think about aspirations, we all have them. We want to do things. We want to be a certain person, a certain way. As we think about specific fulfillments of our lives, we need to remember that the highest purpose of our lives as Christians is to honor God. To honor God. Amen? Which really leads us to exploring, I think, some areas where we can honor God. And the first, obviously, and primary way that we honor God is with our worship, isn't it? With our worship. Personal worship, congregational worship from the heart, and as we come each week, we need to remember that God is the best and deserves the best. True? God is the best and deserves the best honor. And so we should be careful, I think, to not let our worship devolve like the Israelites did, and the prophet Isaiah described it. Isaiah said, the Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men. And how quickly worship can devolve into something like that, where our heart's out of it, where we subtract our hearts out of the equation, and it just becomes something that is rote, something that's heartless, something that doesn't have meaning for us. And so we honor, we should, we ought to, it's our purpose, it's our calling to honor God with our worship, isn't it? But there's some other things, a couple other areas of our lives where we can honor God, and I want to talk about just a few of those this morning. And so the second thing is this: we can honor God with our giving. And it's not just, you know, preachers just don't say that because they want more money, all right? That's not it. It's a scriptural principle. In fact, Proverbs chapter 3 says it specifically: honor, everybody say honor. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops, then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Basically, you'll be blessed, right? We don't have vats of wine, right? Or, well, some of you might have barns, I don't know. But for so many people, talking about financial giving is like poking them with a red hot iron. I mean, it's that painful for people. And I think God knows that. I really do. I think God knows that, and which is why I think he provides this principle, because our money has such a grip on our lives that the only way to loosen the grip is to give extravagantly on the front end. You understand what I'm saying? That when we receive our income, the first thing that gets charged off is giving back to God. The first thing that gets charged off is giving back to God. First fruits, as God calls it. First fruits. God says to us, before you do anything else with your earnings, before you spend any of it on yourselves or on any other person, show me you honor me by giving to me first. Honor me. Honor the Lord with your wealth, he says. And in the Bible, that pattern of first fruits we know is a tenth, it's 10%. And I don't want to spend too much time on this other than to say that I think that God wants us to remember that giving is primarily a heart issue. Giving is not primarily a money issue. Giving is a heart issue. It demonstrates how much we love and honor God. That's what giving is. And so we honor God with our worship, and we honor God with our giving. But there's a third way the Scripture says that we are to honor God, and that is with our bodies. With our bodies. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you want to turn there, you can. God, help those in need right now in Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians 6, 17 through 20. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? You know this one? Who is in you? Christ in me. Christ in me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Whom you have received from God, you are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, what? Honor God with your body. Now, I understand that this passage of Scripture is primarily dealing with sexual purity and living inside the boundaries that God designed for sexual engagement between a man and a woman in marriage. I get that. I understand that that's primarily what God is talking about. But we cannot deny that God gave us a body to manage. Right? To steward. And If God created us as a material being made in his image, and he gave us the mandate to cultivate the earth and to fill it with his image, then our bodies must have a purpose, right? They must be important. If Jesus came in the flesh, are you with me? We're just coming off of celebrating the incarnation of Jesus, you know, him becoming man and dwelling among us. If Jesus came in the flesh and in Jesus, the whole fullness of the deity dwells bodily. And this is what we believe. This is what Christians believe. This is what some Christians are beginning to deny in this age. But this is what Christians believe. That Christ, the fullness of God, the fullness of the deity dwells in Christ bodily. And if those things are true, listen, the body must bear some really significant eternal difference, right? Importance. Eternal importance and significance. Our bodies are important to God. They are. And if we abuse them or neglect them or punish them, then we dishonor God. Here's another way of saying it. We make little of what he has done and what he's given to us. We make little of it, of what he has done and what he's given to us. Now, the Apostle Paul, he's reminding us of something I think that really needs to be a stronger revelation in our lives, and that is this, that Jesus took on human flesh. God the Son housed himself in a human body and honored the Father with it, revered the Father with his body, and he obeyed the Heavenly Father in his body. And then he placed such a high value on our lives, broken as they were, that he purchased our lives with his very own life. He died a bodily death. It was real. And so I think the point is, don't be haphazard with your bodies. Honor him by taking care of them. And listen, there's a resurrection coming. How many know that? There's a resurrection coming for you and me. As the people of God. A day when we will receive a new imperishable body. There's a day coming, but it's not here yet. It's not here yet. Right? So what do? Until then, we honor God by fueling our bodies with things that will help us and not harm us. We honor God by fighting the temptation to overindulge ourselves or abuse ourselves with harmful substances. We honor God by exercising, by moving, so that we can be some earthly good to other people in our lives. How many want to do some good for God, for Jesus, and be some earthly good to other people? Yeah, and so all of that, all of this thing about eating and exercising and taking care of your body, all of that serves a greater purpose of glorifying God and honoring God. And so we honor God by worship and with worship, and we honor God our giving, and we honor God with our bodies. But there's a third thing I think that we need to talk about, the final thing, and then we'll finish up here. And I think we just really need to press this thing in with prayer, this thing about honoring God. We need to honor God because we spend so much time there. We need to honor God with our work, with our work. Colossians chapter 3, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart as working for the Lord and not men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ that you are serving. we could honestly say it's the Lord Christ that you are honoring through your work, in your work. And so whether it's at home or whether it's outside the home, as an adult, we spend the bulk of our daylight hours working. True? And we're tempted to fall into this mindset, I believe, of Monday through Saturday is secular and Sunday is spiritual. And so it's so important to remember that we can honor God 24/7. 24/7. No matter what work we do and no matter what type of setting, we perform that work to honor God. We can honor God in it. How many want to do that? We want to do that. Honor God in it. And so our work and a little meddling, our attitudes at work. Our attitudes before we go to work and our attitudes when we get off of work. Is that enough? Can make God more glorious to other people. Work is a great platform for the gospel of Jesus to be expressed, isn't it? And just like there's a resurrection coming for us, Hebrews chapter 4, and I'll finish with this, Hebrews 4 talks about a Sabbath rest that is coming for you and I as the people of God, a Sabbath rest. There's a future day when all the strain and all the striving and all the fatigue of work will stop. But it's not here yet. That day is not here yet. It's not here yet. So what do? Until then, we honor God with our worship. We honor God with our giving. We honor God with our bodies. And we work for the glory and the honor of God. Amen? Let's pray. God, if we exist to honor you, God, then I think we have some work to do. I think we have some changes that need made. I think you need to help us, Lord. I think, God, what we need is for you. We want to invite you, Lord, to reveal to us where we need to just amp it up in terms of honoring you. And so, Holy Spirit, speak. Just as you're reflecting upon what we shared today, I want to ask us all a question this morning. Practically, what do you need to put in place to better honor God? Because most of us have come into this space already knowing what things you need to put in place. I believe that. I really do. The Holy Spirit has really already been talking to so many of us in our lives about what we need to put in place to better honor God, to glorify Him, to make Him glorious. Maybe for some of you today, it's words. Your words need to change. You need to be less snarky, less cynical, less negative, critical, angry. Maybe you need to listen more and encourage others better. Maybe you need to serve other people more. Maybe it is that you need to be more disciplined in taking care of your body. Maybe it's just as simple as being more purposeful and offering God honor and worship in this space on Sundays. What do we need to put in place to better honor God? Maybe it's nailing down this first fruits principle in your life of giving. Maybe you need to do that. You've struggled with that. Maybe a better way to honor God would be working with a higher integrity and showing more kindness and generosity at work, better attitudes at work. What will change in you, bringing greater glory and honor to God? What if you changed it? I believe the Lord would say this. What if you changed that thing in your life and it would be like you would be giving God a 20-minute ovation every day? It would be that much honor that you'd be giving it. So Jesus is here. He wants to meet you and me, and he wants to help us at the point of change that we need in our lives. And I want to just ask you to be bold today. First Sunday, right off the bat, 2020, be bold, and you really need to align yourself with maybe God's vision for your life in a better way. There's some ways that you could honor God better. You know what they are. I'm just going to invite you just to come to the communion tables right now. Just stand there and meet up with God. Just invite you. Just be bold and do that. You know what it is. We talked about some of the ways to honor God, and you've already been dealing with God about it. So I just go right now. All right. Just be bold. Just go. Don't hesitate. You know what it is. Don't let this year be a year of hesitation. All right. It's like the old adage, he who hesitates, right, is lost. You need to come. What needs to be put in place to better honor God this year? What do you need? What do you need to do? What do you need from the Lord? What strength do you need? God, what is your vision for my life? Not what I want, not what I think I need, not what I think I need to do or change, but what you see as the vision for my life. And some of us just need to come and begin to ask that question of God. God, what is it? What is it? What is the vision? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. just invite you to stand. Just stand with me. Just those who've come to the front, just continue to respond to what God is doing, what God's speaking to you. God, we don't want to be at the end of our lives and come to find out that really we applauded ourselves more than you. Huh. We want you to be honored with everything about our lives. We want you to receive honor, to get honor, to be honored, to receive honor. Thank you for the morning. What a great morning. Just giving you honor and glory and praise. And meeting with you and having you deal with us. It's good. It's good. So as we walk out today, I just pray that this whole idea of honoring God would be like a branding on our spirits, on our hearts, that we won't forget it, that it will be, you know, we'll continue to come back to this. Is this honoring God? Am I honoring God? Is what I'm saying honoring God? Is what I'm thinking honoring God? Are my attitudes honoring God? Are my words honoring God? How am I honoring God right now in this moment? Let that be branded in our spirits and our souls, and we wouldn't forget it as we move into the new year. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be blessed. Go and honor God.